Sunday, God, we just have had the worship that we've had has just been intensifying. I feel like every service, like it's always good, but then we come out of it going, wow, it was better. How can that even be possible? Because like last week was amazing. But yet it just seems like we keep pressing into newer and deeper and higher. And my goodness, it was just so good. So, the song we sing on Sunday, Refiner, there's a part that says, clean my hands, purify my heart. I want to burn for you, only for you. Take my life as a sacrifice. I want to burn for you, only for you. And it really got me thinking. God kind of spoke to my heart. So we're going to talk about fire tonight. You guys get out of goat stories. You're welcome. So I did bring you a picture, but it's not of a goat. Anyway, so we're going to talk about, this is called controlled burn or wildfire, and there is a difference. So fun fact, I have done several things, but I majored in fire technology when I was actually a graduating senior in high school, but going into college, I majored in fire technology. And I'd love to tell you it's because I really wanted a career in fire prevention, but really I was a 17-year-old girl that wanted to be in a room full of firemen, and that's just how that went. So, and now I'm married to Daniel, so you can tell how that worked out for me. But I studied fire prevention, and I have a bunch of certificates for it, and I actually really did like it. It's interesting once you get into fire and things like that. But fire needs three things. It needs fuel, it needs oxygen, and it needs heat. But if one of those things, one out of three things is removed, it can't survive. You have to have all three things. So you quench a fire by removing one of those necessary three things. It sounds easy until, you know, you're battling a wildfire. So to remove the fuel, one way to not only prevent wildfires, but to help extinguish a wildfire is to do what they call controlled burns. So basically, they go out and they set a fire path ahead of what the fire is moving towards. And when the fire that is wild is moving towards this controlled burn area that they lit on fire, once it gets there, it doesn't have any more fuel, because the other fire already burned it all up. So there's nothing left to burn, and so now it can't go anywhere. So that's one of the ways they do that. The other thing they do is they remove oxygen. So that's easy. You use a covering agent, you know, in a it's actually been really fun. In Ryan's school, he had to do some shop safety stuff, and so he got to go through all the different extinguishers and all the different chemicals, and I remember all that stuff, so it was kind of fun, and he thought I was dorky, but yeah, I still remember them. But anyway, so like, you know, not all fires are put out by water, right? So there's other foams and methods and all these things to put out these fires. So the covering agent basically smothers out the oxygen, and now your fire again is missing one of the elements it needs to burn. Or another way they do it is to add in carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide takes out all your oxygen, and then now you have no oxygen, no fire. And then, of course, the other way is to remove heat. So you remove heat by adding water, which then takes all those little droplets of water, because they don't, you kind of spray, and it doesn't just go in one small stream. It kind of does a spray stream like this. Have you ever seen a fire hose? They're ginormous, you know. Maybe not this big. Daniel just made a face at me. They're not really that big, but they are big. And when they spray out, they spray and all these little droplets disperse in the atmosphere. Well, then it's those little droplets that take all of the heat out of the air. And then, of course, it falls on the fire. And so then now you've got another fire that is missing heat. So you've got to remove one of those three elements. Okay, but what I feel impressed to talk about tonight is determining, are we a controlled burn or are we a wildfire? Like, fire is fire, right? There's not a difference. Wrong. Fire can be two different things completely. It either is a blessing that brings new life when it's used properly, or it's a devastation that brings catastrophe. The outcome is determined by its beginning. So if it's just something out there, you know, somebody flicks something out their car window and now all of a sudden we've got this wildfire going, Texas has had horrific wildfires this year. and it wasn't something that was burned. Well, what happened? It had all this old stuff, all the old trees and limbs and grasses and all these things. They've just been sitting around. Nobody's controlled them. And so now you've got all this fuel, and of course it's hot and it's dry, and so now you've got all these elements that create these horrible wildfires. But on the flip side to that, you know, on our property, Daniel likes to burn things. There is a picture. But so we were supposed to have a date night one night. And when you guys come out to our Ryan's party, you'll see. Like, you can see our house from a few miles down the road. And as I'm turning onto our road, coming down to the property, I can see flames. And I'm like, oh, that better not be on our property, because it is date night. This is not the first time Daniel has ruined date night by something like this. And so as I get closer, sure enough, property's on fire. And I'm like, what happened? And he's like, well, I just wanted to burn off this little area because there was a lot of weeds and, you know, it just needs to be burned off. And then it kind of went over all these acres too. And so in the meantime, he burned a rake in the lawnmower and like all kinds of other things. So anyway, so there's that. Daniel's really good at ruining date night. So you should ask him about his cow story on that note. But anyways, but there's a beginning. So on our land, you know, we get these real big tall grass, and when they dry, then of course you've got all this fuel, and the goats don't eat dry grass because, you know, they're spoiled. And so we end up burning it. And it's great because it puts nutrients back into the soil and it does all these things, and all of a sudden you have this new life next year to grow up, and it's great. But if you leave it and it catches fire by itself, it's not great, and it will bring devastation. You will bring loss of life and money and structures and everything else, and we can see that by what Texas is going through currently. But we can experience wildfires in our lives that bring devastation, loss, and death. And Isaiah 50:11 says, "Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment." So if we just let things kind of go haphazardly along, we can get caught up in something. And if we're not being caught up in the things of God, if we're not burning for God, if we're not being that controlled fire where, yes, we're on fire, but we are on fire for God, then we are subject to the other side of being on fire not for God, which means you're in an out-of-control fire. And now out-of-control fires kill things. It kills life. It kills businesses. It kills money. It kills all kinds of things. So we need to figure out, okay, we're a fire. What kind of fire are we? So we can purposely set our hearts on fire in a controlled burn for God and his kingdom that refines us and brings us to newer, deeper life in Christ. But we have to do that. That has to be an everyday choice of, God, I'm putting you first. This is the path I'm on. This is the way we're going to go. This is, you know, me and God. This is how we're walking. It's not just, I'm going to dabble over here and I'm going to do this over here and then we'll just see what kind of happens. It doesn't work that way. And fire does not work that way. Matthew 22:37, this is in the Passion Translation. It says, Jesus answered him, "Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart." I love that. The Passion Translation is so fun sometimes. "With all the energy of your being and with every thought that is within you." So your passion with all your energy and all your thoughts. If you wrap those three things up, you really don't have a whole lot of time for other shenanigans. Like, not gonna lie, I like to get myself into shenanigans. Not like naughty shenanigans, but like shenanigans in my craft room. Like, that's where I'm so happy. But that doesn't mean your focus changes off of God. It just means you can do other things. God doesn't want you to not live because you're serving him. That's anti-God. He wants you to live serving him. He wants our lives to be through him, in him, abiding in him, walking with him, communing with him. Those are things he wants us to do. So we have a part to play, because we have to make choices and directions of which way our little fire we're stoking is going to go. So we already said fire can't burn that same thing twice, which is why we set controlled burns. You get there, the fire gets there, it can't burn anything else. If you're on fire for something else, you can't be on fire for God. So that doesn't mean you don't enjoy other things. It doesn't mean you don't like to go play with the goats. It doesn't mean you don't like to hunt or fish or, you know, go to the movies or whatever. That does not what it means. But it does mean your heart is sold for God. Everything you do is striving to be who God has called you to be. Every choice you make is founded on the word, is founded on what God says, because that's what he wants us to do. And that's really where we can live a fulfilled life. You know, it says Jesus came to give life abundant, but that life abundant isn't separated from him. So if we're constantly taking ourselves out of his realm or out of his scope of area, then we really can't live that abundant life, because that abundant life is in him. And yet if we're keeping him over there on the shelf, our life over here, not on the shelf, is they don't coexist. Does that make sense? So if something is already burned, it has no fuel left to give. But the opposite is also true. If your life is so set ablaze for God and his kingdom, then wildfires can't sneak in and start to bring havoc and desolation and devastation and death and all the horrible things that it can bring, because you've already got something burning here. You know, there's a lot of times, you know, working in the court, or there's a lot of times where people say, well, this was a gateway crime. This was a gateway drug. This was a gateway this or that. That means it started somewhere. And a lot of times you talk to people that have been engaged in those kinds of things, and they never meant for it to go that far. They never meant to go further than where they had just started, you know. But they do, because things kind of snowball. It's like a fire. It presses itself. Fire creates its own wind. Did you know that? So if it's not windy and you've got fire going, it doesn't go out. No, it creates its own wind to create movement. So if you're over here doing a gateway drug or a gateway crime, or, you know, I know you guys aren't doing drugs and crime, but I mean, if there's something in your life that you're just doing this one little thing because it's my one guilty fleshy pleasure, or, you know, whatever, it's a gateway to allow those floodgates of fire to just go crazy. Nothing stays in the gate. So, okay, I said I wasn't going to say anything about goats, but apparently that was false, because speaking of a gate, you know, you open the gates, the girls, they're, you know, a little bit away from the milk parlor, and so when we open the gate, those girls are running for the milk parlor. Like, they know that's where their grain is, that's where we're headed, we are running. They don't open it, we don't open the gate, and they stand there and like, we're in the gate now. Cool. Like, we're just going to stand here in the gateway. No, they're going to go right through it. That's why we have to be so careful about what kind of gateways we're doing. You know, the Bible says our eyes are a gateway. Think about that. Because now, whatever you're letting into that gate of your eye, you're letting it run to whichever direction you just opened that gate to. That's totally not in my notes. That was free. So Deuteronomy 4:24, the Bible tells us that the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. That's exactly what we're talking about. When we are so in love with God, so on fire for God, it just consumes us, because he is all consuming. He has everything we need. He's got all those elements that we need. He's got everything that we could possibly think of. He's got it all for us. He paid it all for us. So I love that the Bible in many places say he's a consuming fire, because it's not like he's just there. No, it's an active thing. He's consuming everything because he can. He's got everything. He's got everything we need. Hebrews 12:29 also says, for our God is a consuming fire. And Deuteronomy 9:3 says, therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. Remember, I was talking about making fire lines, or controlled burn lines, whatever you want to call them. That's exactly what this verse says it does. It says that God goes before you as a consuming fire. So now he went before you and he made the fire line that you're, all those wildfires that are trying to come against you, they can't cross, because the Lord already went before you and he already made the way for you. Zechariah 2:5 says, "For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst." Have you ever been walled in by fire? I thankfully have not been walled in by fire, but our in school, our instructor told a story of wildland firemen who were out in, you know, fighting fire and the thing, and the wind shifted, because it creates its own wind. The wind shifted, and before they knew it, they were surrounded by fire, and they couldn't get out. They're on top of a hill and on a mountain, because we had mountains in California, and they ended up covering themselves with a fire blanket. They lived. The fire passed over them, and they actually lived. But to be walled in by fire, there's no way out of that. There's not, you can't do it on your own. If they wouldn't have had a fire blanket, they wouldn't have survived. And even in a fire blanket, if the temperature gets too hot, you still don't survive. So it's kind of one of those, I'm going to do it just in case, and I hope I live. But don't go out there and try to lay under a fire blanket and see if it works. That's like a terrible idea. Highly not recommended. But this, Zechariah is telling us, he'll be a wall of fire around us. How amazing is that? Do you want to walk through fire? Because I don't. There's no way. The boys standing there watching that fire that night, I walked up and was looking at what they were doing. And anyway, that fire is hot, but it's only on one side of you. Can you imagine being surrounded by it? Things aren't going to go through there. Like, God's got us in this wall of his consuming fire if we'll stay there and let ourselves be. You know, it says we've got to make the choice to abide with him. So when you're abiding in him, this verse in Zechariah, I love this. It'll be a wall of fire around you. My goodness, what is going to go through that? Not really anything worth it. So, but in order to create a controlled burned area in our lives, so we're going to make a path for God. We're going to make we are going to be on fire for God. We are going to keep our minds set to where we are not going to be gatewayed to this, or we're not going to be fleshed to that. We are going to make ourselves available to God, what he wants for us, what his plans are, what our future and our hopes are. We can do all those things, but we have to know that we have choices to make. So if fire needs a fuel source, that means every decision we make, do, or say is kindling to a fire. So which type of fire is going to be up to what is stored in your heart? So either the stuff that's coming out of your heart is pointing you towards this path of the kingdom of God, or it's pointing you towards this path of whatever else you want to get going on in the world. This world has got some things going on, you guys. And if we are to stay out of those things, we need to know where we are in God. We need to know who we serve. We need to be closer to him ever than before, because there's a lot of voices. Pastor Steve talked about that, right? A lot of voices of the stranger. It's so true. If you don't know the voice of God, you'll find other voices. There's plenty of voices that want to talk to people right now. Plenty. But if you know the voice of God, when those other things come against you, you'll say, that's not God. That's not in the Bible. That's not what he says. That's not what the word says. That's not what he says about me. That's not what he says about my finances. That's not what he says about whatever. Because we know him. Because we've chosen to stay on this path that he wants us to be on, so that we can step into him and step into that abundant life. You know, so many people say, well, when we get to heaven, it's going to be amazing and we'll finally have abundant life. Well, that's great, except the Bible says Jesus came to give us abundant life now. It doesn't say Jesus came to give us abundant life when we get to heaven. That would be a bummer, right? I mean, heaven's going to be great and glorious, and I'm super excited about all the gemstones in the gates of heaven, because I like gemstones. And so, but that's not what he was saying. He was saying, I came to give you abundant life right now, right here, right where you're at, in me. But we have to make that choice to be there. So it needs a fuel source. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. That means whatever you're storing up inside, that's what's coming out. There's no way around that. If we are storing up a bunch of maybe TV shows that have a bunch of profanity in them, or one of the days I called Ryan at school, I was talking to him, and all I could hear were potty words in the background. And I'm like, is that how they always talk? And he's like, yep. And I'm like, you better not. And he's like, really, Mom? But it's true. It's not, I'm not saying it's true because Ryan did anything, but it is true when you surround yourselves with that. Do you find yourself accidentally letting a word slip? It happens. I'm human. I have done that. I'm not saying that was my best moment ever. I'm just saying what you surround yourself with is what gets inside of us. And what's inside of you is what's going to come out of us. And so it's so important who we're around, what we're watching, what we're listening to. I don't know what Ryan was listening to in his room today. I'm sure it was perfectly fine because Ryan is an amazing young man. But my goodness, it sounded horrible. And I'm like, I don't know what you're listening to, but that's got to be turned off. And he kind of rolled his eyes like, I'm sure it was Skillet or something. And I don't really have a whole lot of liking for that sound. But anyway, but those things that you are around, those things that you take into yourself, they're not little things. You know, you can't put stuff into your body and then, you know, especially junky stuff into your body and then expect to be able to go run a marathon. Not that I want to run a marathon, but, you know, if you're eating Twinkies and Ho-Hos all the time, your cholesterol is probably not going to be good and you're probably not going to be able to run a marathon. You know, whereas on the flip side, when you're eating like you should and exercising like you should. I know people that love to run marathons. I don't quite understand it. Never seen a bear in Texas, but yet they run. So they like it, but they're so careful about what they put inside of themselves, what they allow themselves to partake of, because their goal is to run a marathon. Our goal is to run the race Jesus has set us on. Which means we have to be careful about what we're putting inside of ourselves, what we're putting inside of our eyes and our mind and our ears and all those things. You know, who we're surrounding ourselves with, my goodness, that's the quickest way to go somewhere is who you surround yourself with. Because before you know it, your friends will get you to say words that you don't think you ever said before. I never said y'all before I moved to Texas. I lived in California. We didn't use that word. That was a potty word. But here, it's not. You say those words. Well, how did I pick that up? From you guys. So thank you. From all of y'all. So we just need to be careful about that. So the next thing you need to realize is, you know, fire needs an oxygen source, which we said, right? But as you speak, I know Pastor Kim and Pastor Steve have said a lot about this, and we are preaching to the choir, but I'm reminding myself tonight, as we speak, you are breathing things into existence. And when I was thinking about it today, I was like, well, God, how does that work? Because, you know, you say we breathe things into existence. Well, things need oxygen, and we don't breathe oxygen, or we don't exhale oxygen. We exhale carbon dioxide, which doesn't make things live, except that it makes plants and trees live, who then recycle our carbon dioxide and then release oxygen back to us, right? So in a way, we are speaking life. We're either speaking life or we're speaking destruction. So when you speak and your carbon dioxide go out, it feeds your surroundings because we said plants and trees and all those things, they need carbon dioxide, which then gives oxygen. And then that oxygen is released back into your atmosphere. So now you've kind of created your own little atmosphere and biodome of what's going on. Your words are so important. I don't know if you guys have ever done the Love Languages book. We did it years and years and years ago. When I say a long time ago, I don't mean 2015. I mean like, you know, 2000 and forever ago. We did the Love Language book, and we found out that I am definitely a words of affirmation. That is how you tell me you love me. You tell me, you know, that I don't look chubby in my jeans. You say nice things about my hair. That is how you speak love language to me. How you do not speak love language to Daniel is he does not care what you say. You can call him the meanest name you could possibly think of in your entire life, and he's like, okay, cool. But if you don't do the dishes, you don't love him, because that is his acts of service. That is how he feels loved. That is his love language. But those words, when he says nice words to me, my goodness, that breathes life into my little love feeling going, because that's how we perceive those things. So when you are breathing stuff to life, we need to be careful. Okay, are we breathing good things or are we breathing bad things? You know, it says choose this day who you're going to serve, but you can also say choose this day, you know, living or dying. And the Bible says that, blessing or cursing. You choose the things you say by what you're saying that comes out of your mouth. Excuse me. Isaiah 33:11 says, you shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you. So chaff and stubble, those are things, those are like byproducts. So like you get all the good hay out and then all that's left is like all the junky stuff that lays on the bottom of the floor that the goats won't touch because, you know, it touched the floor. That's the stuff that's there. You don't want those things. When you breathe, you want the things to come out that God says. You want promises to come out. You want truth to come out. You want hope and encouragement to come out. You want things that are going to build you up, not tear you down, to come out. There's a song that Ryan likes right now. It's actually a country song. I was kind of surprised. Not that it's country, but that it was talking about this. And so it's talking about how he says all these things to himself throughout the day about, you know, you're not this and you're too that and you're, you know, whatever. I'd have to ask Ryan what it says. But basically, you know, you're junky. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You know, those kinds of things. And then this song says, why are you lying to yourself? The worst lies you can tell somebody are the lies you tell yourself. And really, we didn't come up with that on our own. We have an adversary that brings stuff against us, right? He's the one that wants us to start saying things about ourselves and about our spouses or about our children. And, you know, because he knows those words have life. And if he can get us to say words that are tearing down life or tearing down relationships or tearing down children, my goodness, we've done half of his work for him, because we've now started taking those words, and instead of breathing life into situation, we're breathing death into situations. So your words that you breathe every day either flame or extinguish fires. So you have to choose which one it is. Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. That means things that were said don't just go away. They keep repeating themselves. And if you go back and watch documentaries, what do they show you? They show you what people said. They show you what people did. It just keeps coming back because that's the law of the land. So an interesting thing that I also thought about this oxygen thing is that sunlight produces oxygen. I did not remember that from my studying. So basically, when sunlight combines with water vapor in the atmosphere, it releases oxygen. So isn't that interesting that the closer you get to the sun, the more breath you have because you got more oxygen into your life? I think that's like the coolest thing ever. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the sun has life, and he who does not have the sun does not have life. We can't live without oxygen. And yet, you know, he's called the sun, and now oxygen comes from sunlight. So there you go. Your exposure to the sun is what brings life. So the third thing is heat. The Webster Dictionary defines heat as the condition of being hot, intensity of feeling or reaction. And the last thing is way down here because I missed it. Just kidding. So yes, condition of being hot, intensity of feeling or reactions, and continuous effort. Those are the three things that Webster defines heat as. So it was interesting. Yesterday, I'm sure you guys are reading along with us in our daily Bible reading. If you're not and you didn't see the video Pastor Steve posted today, it was so good. He posted a video on John chapter 12 and about expectations and whether or not they're natural versus supernatural. It was really good. So if you didn't watch that yet today, you should do that. But yesterday in chapter 19, Jesus was still with Pilate. You know, and it said that they had already scourged him and they did the crown of thorns and they dressed him up in the purple robe, like mocking him. And they'd already, you know, beat him within a second of his life. And I was telling the ladies on prayer yesterday, Daniel made us watch The Passion at Easter and I had never seen it. And that's horrific. But it really gives you a glimpse of something we can't, I don't think we can fathom what he went through. Even to watch it, and I'm crying because that's how that goes. I'm crying through this movie watching it. I'm like, Daniel, I can't watch this. But yet, I don't think that was even a glimpse of what Jesus went through. And so here he is, and he's standing in front of Pilate. And John 19, so starting in verse 4, he brings him back out to the Jewish officials, and he says, there's nothing wrong with him. Like, I talked to him. He's good to go. But they weren't taking that, right? So it says, Jesus emerged bleeding, wearing the purple robe and the crown of thorns on his head. And Pilate said to them, look at him, here's your man. No sooner did the high priest and the temple guards see Jesus that they all shouted in a frenzy, crucify him, crucify him. But Pilate replied, you take him then and nail him to a cross yourselves. As I told you, he is not guilty and I find no reason to condemn him. He wanted nothing to do with it. He did not think this was right. Then Pilate was greatly alarmed when he heard that Jesus, oh, just kidding, I missed this thing. The Jewish leaders shouted back, but we have the law and according to our law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. Then Pilate was greatly alarmed when he heard that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. So he took Jesus back inside and said to him, where have you come from? But once again, silence filled the room. Perplexed, Pilate said, are you going to play dead? Don't you know that I have the power to grant you your freedom or nail you to a tree? So Jesus is going through all these things and Pilate has asked him all the different questions and Jesus is silent through the whole thing. He's been through this horrific ordeal where we can't fathom what he went through, and yet he's quiet as he's being questioned. And so finally Jesus answers, and he says, you would have no power over me at all unless it was given to you from above. This is why the one who betrayed me is guilty of even a greater sin. So when heat is as compared to and is defined as a reaction or as a reaction, we have to realize there's a difference between a reaction and a response. And I kind of shared this yesterday. A reaction is emotionally driven by the moment. It has little to no thought, usually brings regret, fuels disagreements, and is always aggressive in nature. But a response is well thought out. It's calm in nature. It brings resolution to conflict, and it's a continuous effort. So Jesus took the time. He didn't just respond and fly off the handle. He didn't react and fly off the handle. He took a moment and he responded to what they're saying. So I thought that was interesting that fire needs heat, and yet one of the definitions of heat is a reaction. Well, here's this reaction, and its definition means it's little to no thought. It's emotionally driven. It brings regret. It fuels disagreements, and it's aggressive in nature. My goodness, no wonder there's so many fires running around. We are fueling them with our reaction to things. So we need to be very careful with making an effort to respond, not react. Because there's a lot of things we can respond to right now. But if we react to them right now, it's going to bring a bad response. We need to come to this side and bring a response, a well thought out, Holy Spirit, lead and guide and direct to what I'm going to say. Help me to say the words that I need to say right now in this moment. Because the Bible tells us he'll give us the words to say. But if we fly off the handle here and lose it long before we say, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to say? Well, now you already blew it. And now the situation's worse because we reacted. On a side note, there are no secret fires. So when you're on fire for something, there's evidence. There's smoke, right? You can smell it. You can see it. Daniel made fun of me because apparently he knew I was talking about fire today. And very far on the horizon from us, at first it kind of looked like clouds. And then I got closer and I'm like, goodness, that kind of looks like a fire. And he's like, what are you talking about tonight? I'm like, oh. Okay, so first of all, that is smoke, but it did look like something else for a while. But there's evidence. So you can't have this little secret thing in your life and expect nobody to know. First of all, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. There's no secrets. There's no secrets from the Holy Spirit. And God's omnipresent, right? Which means he's always with us, so he knows. But there's going to be evidence in our lives. People are going to smell it on you. They're going to see it on you. They're going to smell it on you. They're going to know exactly where you are. And that's not meant to scare you. That's just a statement to saying, you know, Pastor Steve used to have these banners that said the verse that talks about your fragrance is evident when you've been with Jesus. You know, that's not what the verse says, but that's the gist of it. And so it's true. You are known by whatever you're putting off. And so if we are to be known as followers of Christ, we are on fire for him. We are working towards what he has for us. That's the stuff we need to be giving off, not other stuff that the world wants to do. So something I wanted to tell you guys is, you know, we talked about fire being good or bad. You know, when we're on fire for God and we're going the way we're supposed to be going, it's great. We're supposed to be doing those things. When we let wildfires run in our life, it brings destruction and devastation and all those things. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is there is a pine tree, and it's called the lodgepole pine. And it makes pine cones because it's a pine tree, right? But it makes pine cones that are sealed in resin. And so it's only by a fire in the forest that these pine cones can actually open and release their seeds down into the ground. And so when we were singing that song about being refined, you know, I want to be refined only to you, there's things that some heat might need to burn off of us. It might need some resin to drip off of our lives. But that resin that we were holding on to, it wasn't allowing us to open enough to release what God had for us. And so sometimes, yeah, there's some heat involved. And there's some things involved that we need to do. And steps we need to take that maybe aren't the most comfortable. Pastor Kim always says, God cares about your calling, not your comfort. Because your calling is what is of utmost importance. And as we allow him to refine us through fire, refine us through his purposes and his wills and his ways, then all of a sudden we're able to shed off those things that are hindering us from blooming, from hindering us from putting down seeds into the ground that will grow up brand new baby pine trees. So it's a really cool tree. You guys should look that up. All right, so how do we light our fire for God? Three easy things. Four easy things. Abide in Jesus, seek his kingdom first, pray in the Spirit, and keep your eyes on him. Those are all things we do anyways. It's easy to do. So I just want to challenge myself, and I want to challenge us as a body. We need to be burning for Jesus because people are burning out there, and they're not burning in good ways. People are looking now more than ever for Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus, but they're looking for something. And they're trying to find it in drugs, and they're trying to find it in alcohol, and they're trying to find it in relationships, and they're trying to find it in any other place that they could possibly think he is. But it's Jesus is the only thing that's going to fill what they're looking for. But we've got the answer. We've got it. But we can't sell something to somebody you have no passion and fire about. If I tried to sell goats for the amount of money I sell them for by saying, yeah, it's a goat, you know how many people would be like, yeah, you're charging too much money. They say that anyways. But then I come back with, this is a permanent champion, and she's got a LA score of 90, and she's won this many best in shows, and her kids are doing this, and she makes 2 gallons of milk a day. And now all of a sudden, I'm passionate about it, and my fire is lit about it, and I can show all the good things about this particular goat and why you should spend the astronomical amount of money I'm asking you to spend on her. But if we just go, hey, Jesus is great, are people going to want that?
no,
they're like, okay, cool. Jesus is great. Good job. But if you say, do you know Jesus? He gave everything for you. He loves you. He has a calling for you. He has a gift on you. You were planned and ordained, and he has something for you. He loves you so much. Can you see the difference? That's why being on fire for God is so important, because we need to take the fire within us and translate it out there, because out there is where needs it more than ever. And the closer we get to Jesus coming back, the more they need it. We've been listening to the Left Behind series, and I told Daniel today, I don't really like this book anymore. Can we not listen to it? Because we're several books in now. Yes. We're several books in now, and it's getting rough. It's getting rough. I mean, it's been rough for a while, but it's really getting rough now. But we're seeing some signs of some times in our world. We're seeing some things, which means time is short. I remember my parents saying that when I was a little kid, and I'm like, yeah, right, you know. And I'm sure they said that when their parents said it. But time is short, guys. We've got to be doing the work of our Father. We've got to be doing the kingdom business that he has called us to do. And it's not, like I said, it's not that he doesn't want you to live life. He wants you to live your life, have your families, do the things that you have in your heart to do, as long as it doesn't take you out of your fire for God. Because if I know anything about God, he uses your passions to further what it is you're supposed to do. That's why he gives me so many goat stories, because he knows that's close to my heart, and I understand that. And it brings a passion to what I talk about, because when I talk about it, I love it and I know it, and it's something I'm comfortable talking about. But if you stay in a box where you're like, I only want to love Jesus and I don't want to do anything else and I don't really like people and I don't do any things, how are you going to be used? You have no way to react or respond to people. Not react, but respond to people or engage with people, because you're in a box all by yourself, you and Jesus, which is great. It should be you and Jesus, but it's you and Jesus, and you're called into the world, right? Gather, grow, go, okay? Anyways, so I just want to challenge us to be more than ever aware of your fire. It's time to kindle some things. It's time to reignite some things within us. The Bible tells you to come back to your first love. Come back to your first love. Remember what it felt like when you were brand new and you just couldn't believe how amazing Jesus was. Well, guess what? He's now even more so amazing than that first day you knew him, because you know him more, which means we should be getting more and more excited about who he is, not less and less excited because, yeah, I accepted Jesus 20 years ago. No, you should be like, oh my goodness, he's so much closer to me today than he was 20 years ago, because I know him better. I spend more time with him. I've been the distance with him now. So we have an area to draw from that can kindle some fire if we take the time to do it.